save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in one. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Daily Telegraph has done a terrific job today in a special report into Man Monitor. Paul Toohey, senior reporter, is on the line. Hi, Paul.
Good afternoon, Justin.
I appreciate your time. What did you discover? You quite rightly pointed out that he is Australia's most hated man. What did you find out about this guy?
Well, he presented himself in this country as an Ayatollah at some point, which is just another word for a very senior cleric. He was never such a person, we don't believe, but he was a cleric, and there are thousands of clerics in Iran. Now, he, as we understood it, had married, came from a poor family, fairly poor farming family in western Iran at a place called Borajerd, from where sometimes you might have heard he took the surname Borajerdi.
Yeah.
And moved to Tehran, married into a powerful family. He married the daughter. He said he had a dream. He told his prospective father-in-law he had a dream that he was told by an Islamic prophet that he should marry his daughter. And this marriage went ahead, and it put him in a position of quite a bit of power. And I think in Iran, power isn't so much about money; it's about religious influence.
Yeah.
And he got a fairly good position, but being a cleric also in that country means you are connected to the government apparatus at the highest level. And he was, we believe, based on conversations we've had with people who knew him here, he was a mid-level spy. He came here claiming he had a very serious information which he'd downloaded from the Iranian Ministry of Information, which is one of the most feared organisations in the world. There's some serious doubt about that. He was describing terrorist actions that had taken place and were kind of well known about then. But he came here, and long before he was standing on the steps of Parliament House in 2001 wearing chains, he had outed himself as a person with who needed Australia's protection and had begun that process. And so he managed to convince both Amnesty International, who advocated very strongly for him that he needed Australia's protection, and he also convinced the Immigration Department and very likely ASIO that he was such a person. And in a sense, from the time he outed himself saying, I can't go home to Iran because they'll kill me, I mean, that became self-fulfilling, if you know what I mean. They would have killed him.
Yeah.
So you know, he basically gate-crashed this country and got himself in.
As you look into his past, I mean, you haven't had the chance to look into his full personality, but do you see him as an evil person or a delusional person or for want of a better term, a crazy person? What category do you put him in, Paul?
Well, I think, I mean, obviously what he did in Martin Place was evil.
Yep.
Came out of a delusional person. I mean, when he came here, the people who knew him said he was a very astute scholar of Sharia law, the religious law of Islam. He definitely knew a lot. He was classically spoken. He was very well educated. However,
yeah.
By 2001, 2000, 2002, that sort of period, he was also advertising himself in ethnic newspapers around Sydney as a spiritual healer and a black magic practitioner. Now, these things go sharply against the teachings of the Quran. You know, that is just abhorred. He was prepared to flip. He was prepared to change. He was incredibly inconsistent. And this was what people said who knew him back in the Imam Sadegh University back in Iran, that he was a person who was never consistent. He was fired
slippery.
Up. Yeah, well, he was fired up with religious fervor at one point, and the next minute he was he was, you know, dreaming and writing poetry, and, you know, the suggestions we are getting out of contacts in Sydney are that he had been facing sexual charges back in Iran. Now, that's yet to be confirmed, but given his behaviour from 2002 onwards, with women he invited to heal, it would seem very likely.
Paul, is part of this problem that maybe local authorities believe that they knocking him back or giving him a hard time or running him through the ringer would have been discriminating against what would be classified as, say, an important Muslim person? Could that have been part of the problem?
Look, I don't think so. I think someone like this, and it was incredibly rare for an Iranian cleric to turn up on our shores, and he was a cleric. He had some sort of standing. I think he set in train a public narrative which said that you can't send me back, they'll kill me. And at the same time, the authorities must have been intrigued. We know that ASIO would have had to have interviewed him as an automatic thing, as he claimed protection. I mean, they would have been irresponsible not to test his claims, what he was making about information he had downloaded from the Ministry of Information. So they would have been intrigued. And I the sense that I have, pardon me.
That's all right.
Is in 1998, when Iran says it started asking Australia to send him back because at the time he committed mass fraud against travel agent clients, if you were ASIO, you'd be wondering, well, maybe this guy is a serious spy. Maybe we do need to sit on him and watch him, what and find out a bit more about him.
Yeah.
But I think what happened was by the time it got to late 90s and early 2000, it was too late. Mantegi had, as I said before, you know, he had outed himself. He had put himself in a position where he would be killed if he was sent home, and they basically had no choice but to give him protection.
Paul, thanks very much for the chat. Well done on the report. I certainly urge everyone to read it. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Justin. Bye.
Paul Toohey, senior reporter with the Daily Telegraph. Please have a look. It's on page 8. Of the telly today. It's not only is it a good read and intelligently put together, but for a guy, Man Monis, who has caused us so much pain over the last... I mean, he was a pain in the backside before that, but then he caused us real pain over Martin Place. It is well worth a read, so we can help get our head around him.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.